The Mystery of the Blue Jar by Agatha Christie. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Jack Hartington surveyed his topped drive ruefully. Standing by the ball, he looked back to the tee, measuring the distance. His face was eloquent of the disgusted contempt which he felt. With a sigh, he drew out his iron, executed two vicious swings with it, annihilating in turn a dandelion and a tuft of grass, and then addressed himself firmly to the ball. It is hard when you are 24 years of age, and your one ambition in life is to reduce your handicap at golf, to be forced to give time and attention to the problem of earning your living. 5.5 days out of 7 saw Jack imprisoned in a kind of mahogany tomb in the city. Saturday afternoon and Sunday were religiously devoted to the real business of life, and in an excess of zeal, he had taken rooms at the small hotel near Sturton Heath Links, and rose daily at the hour of 6 a.m. to get in an hour's practice before catching the 6:46 to town. The only disadvantage to the plan was that he seemed constitutionally unable to hit anything at that hour in the morning. A foozled iron succeeded a muffed drive. His mashie shots ran merrily along the ground, and 4 putts seemed to be the minimum on any green. Jack sighed, grasped his iron firmly, and repeated to himself the magic words, "Left arm right through, and don't look up." He swung back, and then stopped, petrified, as a shrill cry rent the silence of the summer's morning. "Murder!" it called. "Help! Murder!" It was a woman's voice, and it died away at the end into a sort of gurgling sigh. Jack flung down his club and ran in the direction of the sound. It had come from somewhere quite near at hand. This particular part of the course was quite wild country, and there were few houses about. In fact, there was only one near at hand, a small, picturesque cottage, which Jack had often noticed for its air of old-world daintiness. It was towards this cottage that he ran. It was hidden from him by a heather-covered slope, but he rounded this, and in less than a minute was standing with his hand on the small, latched gate. There was a girl standing in the garden, and for a moment Jack jumped to the natural conclusion that it was she who had uttered the cry for help. But he quickly changed his mind. She had a little basket in her hand, half full of weeds, and had evidently just straightened herself up from weeding a wide border of pansies. Her eyes, Jack noticed, were just like pansies themselves, velvety and soft and dark, and more violet than blue. She was like a pansy altogether, in her straight purple linen gown. The girl was looking at Jack with an expression midway between annoyance and surprise. "I beg your pardon," said the young man, "but did you cry out just now?"
"I? No, indeed."
Her surprise was so genuine that Jack felt confused. Her voice was very soft and pretty, with a slight foreign inflection. "But you must have heard it," he exclaimed. "It came from somewhere just near here." She stared at him.
"I heard nothing at all."
Jack, in his turn, stared at her. It was perfectly incredible that she should not have heard that agonized appeal for help. And yet her calmness was so evident that he could not believe she was lying to him.
"It came from somewhere close at hand," he insisted.
She was looking at him suspiciously now.
"What did it say?"
she asked. "Murder! Help! Murder!"
"Murder?"